News Radio. I'm Lillian Wu. The president has landed in Canada for the G7 summit, where the reception might be a bit chilly with allies upset over tariffs on aluminum and steel. The president speaking to reporters before departure.
We are not going to live with the deals the way they are. European Union treats us very unfairly. Canada, very unfairly.
French President Emmanuel Macron has been teaming up with his Canadian counterpart, Prime Minister Justin Trudeau, to sort of fight the president.
Fox's Kevin Cork. The Florida woman who stole a baby from a hospital 2 decades ago and raised her as her own, sentenced to 18 years for kidnapping, 5 concurrent years for custody interference. And Kia recalling over 500,000 vehicles in the U.S. because airbags may not work in a crash, apparently related to an investigation into failures in Kia and Hyundai vehicles. Fox News. We report, you decide.
And now with your latest up-to-date forecast, here's Steve Pelletieri's Eye on Weather on 1460 WVOX.
Your forecast for Friday, calling for mostly sunny skies across Westchester. Temperatures in the lower 80s. Light winds becoming southwest this afternoon. Mostly cloudy tonight, down to 62. Saturday's looking partly sunny. Highs near 80. There is a chance of a shower or a thunder shower on Saturday night with a cool front arriving. Overnight low temperatures 61. Maybe a leftover shower early Sunday, then clearing. Becoming sunny and pleasant, high 75. Mostly sunny Monday, mid-70s. I'm meteorologist Steve Pelletieri for 1460 WVOX, a Whitney Global Media Station.
Whitney Media offers unique opportunities for independent packagers and radio program producers in the metropolitan area. Both WVIP HD and WVOX Worldwide offer prime airtime in the evening, on the weekend, and during the day for a wide range of programs dealing with health, finance, religion, business opportunities, as well as international and multicultural talk and music. The following is an independently produced program. The views and claims expressed on this program by its hosts and guests are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or its advertisers.
1460 WVOX. Stay tuned for Building Knowledge with Building and Realty Institute host Jeff Hanley. Mr. Hanley is the Associate Director of BRI, and every Friday morning at 11:30, you'll have the opportunity of learning to build your knowledge about planning, insurance, environmental regulations, and everything you need to know on the local level to build your knowledge. Here now is Jeff Hanley.
Good morning, and a happy Friday to all. Welcome to Building Knowledge with the Building and Realty Institute, the official radio show of the Building and Realty Institute, which is also known as the Builders Institute and the BRI. I am Jeff Hanley, Associate Executive Director of the BRI and your program host. We thank you so very much for joining us this morning live on WVOX 1460 AM, as well as worldwide on WVOX.com. For first-time listeners, we will explain what the Building and Realty Institute is. Our association is a building, realty, and construction industry membership organization. The BRI is composed of more than 1,800 members in 14 counties of New York State. Those members are involved in virtually every sector of the building, realty, and construction industry. The BRI represents our members and the building, realty, and construction sector on a virtual 24/7 basis. If you are involved in any way in the building, realty, and construction industry, we are most definitely the organization for you. And we are marking the 72nd anniversary of our formation throughout 2018, a fact we are happy to acknowledge on behalf of our associate, I should say on behalf of our executive director, Albert Annunziata, and our director of membership, Maggie Collins. Again, this is Jeff Hanley, associate executive director of the BRI, and we thank you for joining us this morning. The topic of this morning's broadcast is a review of key insurance issues for building, realty, and construction industry members. We have two very important topics to address this morning. Our guest joining us over the phone is Jason Schisciano, who is co-president of Levitt First Associates Limited, the insurance manager for the Building and Realty Institute, and our seven component associations. Jason, good morning. Thank you for phoning in.
Hey, good morning, Jeff. Thanks so much for having me.
Oh, you're very, very welcome. For first-time listeners who aren't familiar with Levitt first. Can you give us a brief background on what you guys do and how you're so very important to members of the building, realty, and construction industry?
Sure, Jeff. You know, we're the largest insurance independent insurance agency in Westchester with 64 people and counting. We're located in Tarrytown, and as the insurance advisors to the BRI, we service the BRI's members in a number of ways. We handle all types of insurance and construction, insurance and bonding for construction and development, and for residential real estate such as condos and co-ops and apartment buildings, as well as personal insurance for successful families. Importantly, as you know, we also provide group discounts on workers' compensation insurance through our safety group program in coordination with the BRI.
Thanks, Jason. Thanks for that overview. The number, by the way, of Levitt vs. Associates for anyone who needs further information is 914-457-4200. The firm is based in Tarrytown. We have two areas to address this morning. The first affects the building and realty side of our association, the BRI. The scaffold law. The general public may not understand what that is, but it is something of very, very much significance to the BRI membership and to the overall building, realty, and construction industry. Jason, why don't you give us a background on what the scaffold law is and what the negatives of this law really, really are, because this is a very important topic to the county, to the region, and the entire state.
I sure will. It's hard to believe that the scaffold law actually still exists, Jeff. It was put in place over 100 years ago in New York and other states around the country. Absent of workers' compensation laws, it was a law available for injured workers to collect money if, in fact, they were injured on a job site. Since the advent of workers' compensation insurance in law, all the other 49 states in the United States of America have eliminated their scaffold law. What the scaffold law says in New York is that if a worker is injured on a job site, and particularly in a gravity-related injury such as falling off of a ladder, that the building owner is absolutely liable for that worker's injury. And even if the worker has faults such as being drunk or not wearing their safety equipment, the building owner is still liable. So every other state's gotten rid of the law, but New York holds on to it, and it's very costly for the entire construction and real estate community.
You recently joined a contingent of building, realty, and construction industry representatives in Albany to address to legislators the negatives of the scaffold law. This affects the builder. This affects property owners. This affects contractors. This affects subcontractors. Can you give us a condensed version of the points that you cited to those legislators? I know that's a lot to ask, and it's a large area, but in general, what was the message of that building, realty, and construction industry contingent to the legislators?
Well, first, you know, to understand the negatives, because of the absolute liability, the owners of buildings try to transfer the exposure to contractors working at the building, and they do that by transferring the risk onto the contractor's insurance. The exposure to these settlements and verdicts through the scaffold law are huge. So because that stifles insurance competition in New York, because very few insurance companies want to sell insurance to contractors working on buildings, that drives up the cost of insurance for all contractors in New York. And it also drives up the cost of rent and project prices and construction of condominiums and apartments and schools, et cetera. So the other thing it does is it stifles the ability of new contractors, for instance, minority-owned businesses or women-owned contractors, to get into the construction business because the minimum premiums for insurance in New York for contractors are so incredibly high. And then the last thing it does is insurance companies that do sell construction insurance in New York for contractors often put exclusions in their policy to prevent coverage for this type of scaffold law claim. So that's what, those are the negatives. And we, of course, went up to Albany, as we've been doing for the last number of years, for right. Scaffold Law Reform Day, and what we were trying to do was convince legislatures there that really what New York should do is the same thing that every other state in the union has done, which is to go from an absolute liability standard, making the builder absolutely building owner absolutely liable, to a comparative negligence standard, which would apportion negligence to the worker if in fact he or she was partially liable, for instance, because he or she was drunk or not fit to work or didn't use their safety equipment.
If I'm listening to the program for the first time, Jason, and I'm listening to your excellent description, here's my thought. 49 other states in the United States have repealed this law. Why, oh, why does New York still have this law? And if I didn't know, and I'm listening for the first time, I would ask that question. So I'm going to ask you for your opinion as to why New York State continues to fall under the influence of this law.
That would be a fair question, and like so many other questions, the answer is, you know, is to follow the money. The plaintiff's attorneys in New York make a tremendous amount of money as these cases come up, and for their portion of the fees associated with them. The plaintiff's attorney lobby is significant and influential, and they support a number of the legislators that keep this law in place. And the other thing is that the unions in New York are also very supportive of this law. They do not want to eliminate a law which, if one of their workers got injured, would potentially eliminate a major payday for the injured workers. So between the unions and the plaintiff's attorney lobby and the legislatures that are beholden to those groups, that's why the law is still in place.
And the negative of the whole scenario is that corporations, insurance companies, and other entities look at this law and shy away from New York State for several different scenarios. Am I correct in that assessment?
Yeah, I mean, it definitely, you know, it's hard to say that it's stifling development in New York since there is so much development, but other states have gotten rid of similar laws and have only seen development grow because it does reduce the costs and barriers to entry to constructing projects. And most certainly, it's a bordering on a crisis situation as of June 1st, another major insurance company that provided liability insurance in New York has pulled out of the New York market just because insurance companies, by and large, do not want to take the risk of these gigantic judgments that often come down as a result of the scalpel law. They'd rather insure other, more safer parts of the insurance industry.
I know this is somewhat of an unfair question, Jason, but do you see in the near future, do you see any chance of reform to this law? Is there any chance of that happening?
Look, I think if I didn't think there was some chance, I wouldn't spend time like so many others in the insurance and construction community trying to get it reformed. It will take either one or more of the governor of the state getting on board with reform and seeing the benefits of reform. Or perhaps an effort at the federal level, which is also in process, and we'll see if that goes anywhere. Meaning eliminating or barring federal funds going toward projects in states where an absolute liability law exists, which is only New York, or attaching reform to some other major appropriations bill so that it sort of gets passed as on the coattails of another bill. At some point, the stars will align and it'll happen, but it's tough to see it happening this year in an election year.
Right. The positive is that this is a statewide effort. There are statewide coalitions around New York that are trying to highlight the negatives of this law and to urge the need for some type of reform or some type of total repeal. So that is most definitely a positive for the industry. And again, for the county, Westchester County, for New York State, and for the industry, the building and realty industry that we are a part of, no doubt about that. You're listening to Building Knowledge with the Building and Realty Institute, the official radio show of the Building and Realty Institute, which is also known as the BRI, We thank you for joining us this morning live on WVOX 1460 AM and WVOX.com. I'm Jeff Hanley, Associate Executive Director of the BRI and your program host. Our guest this morning is Jason Schisciano, co-president of Levitt First Associates, which is the insurance manager for the BRI and its seven component organizations. Once again, Jason, thanks for joining us. We're going to move a bit to the realty side now, Jason. You recently issued a presentation at one of the BRI meetings that talked about the renewals of insurance policies on the realty side for multifamily buildings and complexes. Our association is composed of three realty organizations: the Apartment Owners Advisory Council, which is composed of owners and managers of more than 17,000 rental units in our region; our Cooperative and Condominium Advisory Council, which is composed of boards of directors of more than 500 co-ops and condos in Westchester County and the Mid-Hudson region; and our Advisory Council of Managing Agents, which is composed of the 25 leading property management firms in our area. Insurance renewals may seem like, to the general public, a matter of routine, but you stated at a recent meeting that it is anything but that. Can you touch on that for us, please?
Yes, of course. Many building and property owners are familiar with the inspection that an insurance company will do at some point during the policy period. Oftentimes, these inspections lead to recommendations for maintenance or repairs, but they're not really recommendations. In fact, the insurance company expects that you follow these recommendations, such as repairing a driveway or repairing a roof or doing brick pointing. So, you know, the first comment would be that if you've got a list of recommendations from the insurance company, I'd advise you to take action on those recommendations well before the expiration date of your policy. And if you're not able to adhere to the recommendations because it's the middle of winter and you can't repair a concrete sidewalk when it's 5 below zero, or because you don't have the money in this year's budget, that you communicate with your broker and your insurance company to let them know, hey, you're working on it, or it's going to be done in next year's budget, is that going to be okay? And let them know that you're paying attention to it. So that would be point number one. Point number two would be to understand your renewal proposal, to take a look at it more than 2 or 3 days before the renewal, or 2 or 3 hours. Make sure you know what's excluded. Make sure you understand that if you've got like a lead liability exclusion or a flood insurance exclusion, that there are other ways to procure coverage for that, and that you get those options and you can make an informed decision as to whether or not you want them. And then lastly would be to be aware of the new coverages more recently that are out there or that have become more prevalent and important lately, such as cyber liability, data breach protection, internet and fraud protection, internet scam protection, and then pollution liability for things such as fuel oil spills or chemical spills. You don't want to find out after a claim that you didn't have a coverage that if you had asked some questions or looked at your policy in advance, you could have prevented by procuring available coverage.
By the way, I failed to mention earlier, we are accepting phone calls this morning here on WVOX 1460 AM. Our number is 914-636-0110. If you have a question for Jason Schisciano, co-president of Levitt First Associates, which again is the insurance manager for the BRI and all of its component associations, please feel free to give us a call. Again, the number is 914-636-0110. We would most definitely be happy to hear from you. Jason, I mentioned earlier the realty side of the Building and Realty Institute and our component organizations. And those organizations are always looking at conditions affecting their operations, whether you're an owner of a rental apartment, building or complex, whether you're a board member of a co-op or a condo, or a property manager of both of those sectors of our association. You're always looking at conditions affecting the daily operations of those three areas. How would you describe the current conditions of the insurance markets that affect multifamily buildings and complexes? What is exactly happening?
Well, I mean, I'd say one thing that is starting to gain steam relates actually back to the scaffold law, as it relates to building owners such as, you know, condominiums, co-ops, or landlords, whether it be for commercial or habitational purposes. So the insurance carriers, more so now than ever before, are expecting and in many cases requiring via the insurance application that their insureds agree to obtain what we call risk transfer documentation from all of the contractors and service contractors, repair contractors that are working at a property. Risk transfer documentation would be the insurance certificate from the contractor, evidencing the contractor's liability insurance and naming the property owner as an additional insured, and then also the associated indemnification and additional insured requirement agreement, which indemnifies the building owner for the liability that comes from the contractor's work, such as a worker getting injured, and also makes the insurance, or the contractor's insurance, cover the building owner as an additional insured. So we see more so now than ever that liability carriers, especially excess and umbrella liability carriers, are expecting and requiring building owners to provide this risk transfer documentation. I think that will only continue, and it's one of the reasons why Leavitt First formed a new company several years back, Risk Reduction Services, which assists property managers in collecting all of this paperwork.
Okay. Great explanation. Here we are in the middle of June, Jason. Hard to believe, but here we are in the middle of June. Time is really moving quickly, no question about that. The general consensus of the guests of this show has been that economically, things are good and things are expected to remain good through the summer months into the fall. Based on the conversations you've had with your clients and the interactions with your clients on a day-to-day basis, are you on board with that statement? Do you see things continuing to be at the current strong level as the weeks go by and we draw nearer to fall?
I think so. I mean, economic activity is strong, and the habitational industry seems to be doing well. In addition, I think as far as premiums for these clients go, that premiums have been relatively stable for property owners with good loss history, but I do think that underwriting standards will continue to tighten, and that just going back to what we talked about before, that deferring important maintenance, if you're making money or collecting money from common charges or maintenance fees, but not putting that back into required maintenance, that could threaten your insurance situation, or not collecting the documentation we talked about for risk transfer could drive your insurance premiums up because the preferred carriers won't look at you. And then lastly, I mean, if we have another bad storm year, hurricanes, et cetera, even though it may not necessarily directly affect New York property owners, two bad years in a row could definitely put us into a hard market and drive premiums significantly higher. So hopefully that will not be the case.
Hopefully. Absolutely. Jason, you attend most of our membership meetings and most of our seminars and the membership meetings of our component associations. You're about 98% there all the time, and that's a great thing. That's a great thing, absolutely. If you were to get a message across to a non-member of the Building and Realty Institute about our association, what would you say? Would you say you've got to attend these meetings, you've got to attend these seminars? This is really a great way to get your networking to a level that you want it to be at. Would you say that? And what else would you say about membership in the Building and Realty Institute?
I think the best thing about the BRI is that it's an outstanding combination of both networking and relationship building opportunity at the many events really throughout each and every month. To meet new people, to forge relationships, to grow relationships, and then also with the educational programming that's provided at almost every meeting, it's a great opportunity to learn and to broaden your knowledge about what's going on not only in your industry, but related industries. I mean, that's one of the great things about the BRI is that it's not just a real estate organization. It's not just a construction organization or a supplier organization, but it's a little bit something for everyone related to the construction and real estate industry.
Yeah, there's no question about that. Our many meetings and seminars deal on many varied types of topics, whether it be building, real estate or construction, but also for the general business sector, such as economic forecast. What is good about the upcoming economy? What is foreseen for the upcoming economy? So as Jason explained it beautifully, if you're a non-member of the Building and Realty Institute and a member of the building of the business community, I should say, should most definitely consider membership in the BRI. And for that, you could always call our director of membership, Maggie Collins, at 914-273-0730. Jason, we have about 2 minutes left. Why don't we review what Levitt First once again offers to members of the building, realty, and construction industry?
Oh, thanks for the opportunity.
You're welcome.
Yeah, again, we have a number of special insurance programs for members of the BRI, specifically for real estate, for construction, for development, the safety group, the workers' compensation safety groups that we have, and the discounts that provides to BRI members is really the best thing going if you're in the real estate or construction industries and you have employees. But we also have, besides the workers' compensation, we have surety bonding, and we've got other insurance programs specifically designed for construction and real estate and successful families that a lot of other brokers in the area do not have access to. So we also provide an incredible level of personal boutique service that you won't get from very large brokers, but we've got the resources and the size and the clout to get anything that the national brokers can get done, we can get done as well. So I think we're pretty unique in the marketplace.
If I'm a member of the building, realty, or construction industry, and I want to talk workers' compensation, who would I call at Levitt First?
You know, if you dial 914-457-4200, you can ask to speak to myself or my partner, Ken First, Mark Sparr, heads up our workers' compensation department. But when our receptionist answers the line and you explain what you need, she'll connect you to someone that can help immediately.
So you would just call Levitt First and you would say, I need topic A addressed, I need topic B addressed, I need topic C addressed, and the receptionist will act accordingly and connect you with the right person.
100%. One of our 64 people will help you out.
That's a large staff, absolutely, 64 people. Again, the number for Levitt First is 914-457-4200. Jason, why don't you list the website in case someone wants to check you guys out on the website?
Thank you, Jeff. It's www.levittfirst. It's tough to spell. It's L-E-V like Victor, I-T-T, F like Frank, U-I-R like Robert, S like Sam, T like Tom.com.
Jason, thank you. Jason, many thanks for another outstanding presentation this morning on Building Knowledge with the Building and Realty Institute. We thank you for all your efforts. We also thank our listeners for joining us this morning on WVOX 1460 AM and WVOX.com. And we hope you'll join us next Friday for another segment of Building Knowledge with the Building and Realty Institute. This is Jeff Hanley, your program host and associate executive director of the BRI, wishing everyone a great Friday and a great weekend.